when he says, feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but praise God of a what? Ready mind. So Timothy cared for others and was willing to deny himself. I'm talking about to the point where Timothy was obsessed with Jesus Christ, which brings me to my second reason. You see, secondly, Peter did not seek his own things. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor. If you don't listen at nothing else that the pastor say today, you need to listen at this. Timothy did not seek his own thing. Praise God. You see, he had not fallen into the trap that so many Christians and believers fall in today. Praise God. His primary concern was for the mission and the truth of Christ and the welfare of the church. Oh boy, I'm getting ready to step on somebody's toes here. But if you don't have any corns, if I step on them, don't say ouch too loud. And maybe nobody would understand. Praise God. You see, this is not the case with most believers and ministers who were in Rome at that time. And tragically, it has not been true for many believers and ministers down through the centuries. You see, many have sought a man their own thing first. Praise God. Nudge your neighbor now. Y'all said y'all gonna help me today. Praise God. Many have sought their own things first, and many have made the things of Christ Jesus and his church secondary. Amen. They do it in order, praise God, to protect their own livelihood. They do it to protect their own position. They do it to protect their own possessions, their own recognitions, their own support, their own security, their own following, acceptance, their own fellowship, and their own comfort and authority. But praise God, I can rattle you off scripture after scripture. Praise God, that tells us, praise God, that we ought to put the church and others before ourselves. Let me say that again. If you are in fact a true friend of the Lord, if you are in fact a believer, praise God, then you are going to put Jesus and others ahead of yourself. Yeah, Sister Smith, I know we were going to get to the Sunday school lesson. Praise God. You see, the scripture has a lot to say about serving others, praise God, above ourselves, because each and every last one of us, regardless of what position you hold.
You have been blessed by the Second Union Baptist Church, 6436 Old Baton Rouge Highway, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71302. They will be glad to hear from you. If you'd like to contact them, you may contact them at 318-445-4875. Tune in next time for the Second Union Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast.
KAYTKQJO.
Gentle Redeemer.
When we put it all together, this is what we like to call you, Jesus, Jesus.
Let's tune in.
That's what
as evangelist Ron Bell takes you further.
You were born
into the word
in a
manger. Praise the Lord, saints. We're still talking to you about the promises and provisions that God has given the church. We just want to keep your hearts and minds flooded with the promises and the provisions that God has made available to us and for us through Jesus Christ. We want to speak the word with clarity, power, authority, and demonstrations of that power. The power of God is the very same power that was given on the day of Pentecost after Jesus ascended into heaven. We need to recognize that this is the very same power that we have received from God. Praise the Lord. It is that one and the self-same power that Jesus used when he raised the dead to cast out demons and devils, and he healed the lame that they could walk straight. You know, he cleansed the lepers so that they could return to regular life and live in society among people. It's the very same power that moved on the waters and turned it into blood when Moses was getting the children of Israel released from bondage out of Egypt. It's that very same power that raised Jesus from the dead. It's that very same power. Glory to God. Now I just want you to think about this power and see if you can muster up enough respect and courage so that you can see that it's that same power, so spectacular, so mind-boggling, mind-blowing, and so miracle-minded, you know, supernatural works. If you can see it that way, that could be why, you know, we treat these kingdom works in such a way that we just read them and we don't think about that we should do them, we should practice them, or that they are really true. We need to get down on our knees, or that they're pleading and begging God to endow us, glory to God, with that awesome power, that devil-destroying sickness and disease-moving power. We need it right now. We need to tell God, Lord, we need it right now in the name of Jesus. You know, it would be, it could be, I'm just saying this now, it could be that most of the church don't recognize that the supernatural is important to God. It's supernatural, and it's all the works of God. They're supernatural. It could be that the church don't recognize that, don't understand that, or maybe they don't want to understand that. God is a spirit. He told us in his word he was a spirit, and he's looking for such to work with him. The people that are in spirit and in truth, those are the ones that he's looking for. You know, everything of the kingdom of God, it came to us by the way of Jesus Christ through the Spirit. Praise God. And it's time to wake up, saints. It's time for us to wake up, to stir up your pure minds, because we're embarking upon the end of the end of the last days, the last times. We can't serve God by living on the outskirts of the Word of God any longer. We must be all in. You know, I give this example. You know, how do we know that this is true? Well, if you take a can, just a little old plain can of soup, and you're just rubbing your hands on the top of that can, you know, you want the soup, but you're just rubbing your hands on top of that can. How many know you have to open that can? Get your hands off that can and just open it. And then you can pour out that soup and you can eat that soup. Well, that's the way it is with the Word of God. You can't just live on the surface of the Word of God. Just the surface part. You've got to get down into the meat of the Word of God. That's where we have to get to. So I want to read 2 Peter 3, the third chapter, verses 1 through 10. So you can see and maybe get an understanding of just what I'm trying to explain to you in this lesson and in these scriptures. It's 2 Peter 3, 1 through 10. This second epistle, beloved, I'll now write unto you. He said, this second epistle I now write unto you, both which I stir up your mind, your pure mind, by way of remembrance. This is what he's saying. I'm going to stir up your pure mind by way of remembrance. He's going to cause and call to remembrance what was said. Verse 2, that ye may be, that you might be mindful of the word which was spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of the apostles of the Lord our Savior. Verse 3, knowing that first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers. And you know, scoffers are people that mock religion, and they make fun of religion. And there will come scoffers walking after their own lust. See, this is what they're trying to hide. They're walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? See, this is what they're saying and talking about God, Jesus. Well, where is the promise of his coming? You don't have to worry about that. He's coming. You know, this is what they're saying. You know, they're not so much as criticizing religion. They're just ignoring it. You know, they have turned away from the truth and began going into their own ways. I'm especially speaking to the young folks, and unfortunately, some of the old folks also. You know, and many preachers and pastors have gone astray in certain ways also. So verse 4 says, you know, and some are saying, so where is the promise of this coming? From since the fathers fell asleep. Listen at this now. They understand that part. From since the fathers fell asleep, all things continued as they were from the beginning. They say all things just continued where they were from the beginning of the creation, they said. Verse 5, for this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. They understood that. Verse 6, whereby the world that they, the world that then was, being overflowed with water, it perished. See, they understood that the world at that time was overflooded with water, and it perished. Verse 7, but the heavens and earth, which are now by the same word, this is the same word God spoke, the same word, are kept in store, reserved for fire against the day of the judgment and the perishing of ungodly men. See, they don't understand that the fire is coming. It's the Bible said in the last days, you know, when he come back, the world is not going to be destroyed by water again. It's going to be destroyed by fire. And they don't know that it's the perdition of ungodly men that's going to be destroyed. It's those very people that's making fun of the gospel now and turning and doing their own thing. Those are the ones that it's going to perish, and they don't even know it. Verse 8, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness. See, he's not like men. God is not a man. So when he says something, it's so much different. It's eons difference between what God say and what a man will say. Because man will just open his mouth and say anything. He say, he's not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us. But is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come in repentance, unto repentance. And verse 10 says,